Why I Take Time for Aloneness. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Why I Take Time for Aloneness. It is so easy to be in this busy world and be active with all of the wonderful things that are going on and participate in all of the wonderful activities that are making life exciting. And in the process, I get involved in where all the worldly thinking goes, where all of the logical thinking goes, where all of the evidential thinking goes. Now, this is good. This is good. This is a normal human being type of activity. And it's a normal human type of response to the world, to know what's going on in the world, and then to put my causes in motion for what's going on in the world. Now, as I do this, I am totally aware that I am thinking other people's thoughts. Now, Herb, you know that's not true. Yeah, I know. I don't think other people's thoughts. There are no other people in this world. There are only mine. But I think thoughts that I think other people might be thinking. I think other people might be thinking there is conflict in this world. There are wars and there are pestilences and there are unhappinesses in this world. I might think that other people think that. Now, if I think that other people think that, then that is what I'm thinking. Now, whether other people think that or not is immaterial. Whether other people think that there are problems in this world or not is really unimportant. Whether other people think that there are diseases and inharmony and unhappiness and poverty in this world is totally unimportant. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As I think in my heart, so am I. As I think in my heart, so am I. Now, whatever I think in my heart is what my world reveals around me. So if I think in my heart about beautiful things, then the world around me will be revealing beautiful things. It's not a matter that I want to make it happen. It's a matter that it's there. When you teach a person how to play the piano, they always knew how to play the piano, but you help them to discipline themselves to telling their fingers what to do, to letting their fingers strike the keys in just such a way, in just such a sequence to bring about the music that they want to bring about. The ability to play the piano has always been there. The ability of most any piano to bring forth beautiful music lies within the piano, and yet it is not there. It is totally not there. The piano can stand for years and never sing one single note if it is not played. Now, the piano doesn't care whether it plays its notes or not. It is just an instrument that does whatever we will it to do, whatever we choose it to do. So, if I choose the piano to play, then the piano will play. And I take the time for aloneness to understand the piano. I don't really understand the piano. I understand myself. Many autistic children are able to hear music, hear an entire composition, and then immediately turn to the piano and play it. Now, how could their uneducated fingers touch the right keys and touch them in the right sequence and touch them with the right strength to bring forth the music that they bring forth? Now, they can do it. And I'm using this illustration not so much to say that the autistic children are gifted and blessed in that way, but I'm saying that it's just an evidence, it's an evidence of the fact that within us lay the entire chorus that we might want to bring forth on the piano. And it's only when we learn to be alone, when we learn to listen within, when we learn to hear the music, and then allow our vehicle, our body, our fingers, and whatever instrument we choose to play, reveal the music that we have within us. Now, you say, I have to learn the piano, I have to learn all the musicology that goes with it, I have to learn all of the various pieces of music, so I have a list of music that I can play beautifully and wonderfully. I have to do these things, I say to myself, and is that true? Is that really true? Does the autistic child have within him a group of pieces that he can play? Does the great musicians, the great composers of all times, do they have the music within them that they want to bring forth and compose and write down so that they can be played by others? Yes and no. This music that is within the great composers is in you and me equally. So that when we hear the music, we say, oh yes, that's very nice, or no, that's not my thing. We have within us this greatness, this wonderful quality. And it's only in our times of aloneness that we are able to enjoy that and be one with it. Now, how can we train ourselves to take times of aloneness? How would an absolute philosopher take time to be alone and listen to the music of the universe, listen to the artistic qualities, the poetry of life? How would an absolute philosopher be one with all that is and all that ever could be? Well, the first thing an absolute philosopher does is just to stop thinking the thoughts that the world is thinking. And the absolute philosopher trains himself to look at something and think his own thoughts. He looks at something and he says, I am beauty. Therefore, I see beauty in whatever I look at. I am harmony. Therefore, I see harmony in anything I experience in my life. I am joy. Therefore, every experience that comes to my attention is an experience of the greatest, most wonderful joy. And on and on. We are the creators of our world, like it or not. We are the ones who bring forth in our experience what we are thinking about, who we are within ourself. If in me is joy, I will bring joy into my life. Within me is harmony and peace and love and abundance and wholeness, then that is what I will bring forth in my life. This is what an absolute philosopher does. An absolute philosopher does not look at appearances and say that is what he sees. He looks at the reality and sees beyond any illusion for the moment. He looks beyond any experience that might be in his life, and he sees the truth. He sees the joy and the peace and the goodness. I was riding with a friend in their buggy. They had a horse and buggy, and they had taken me out to look at the wine fields in Switzerland. And we drove through the various wine groves, and as we drove through the vineyards, they would tell me the story of the vineyard, and then they'd bring out a bottle of wine that they had with them, and we would taste the wine, and they would say, this is the type of grape that is grown in this vineyard, with this sun, with this water, with this type of seedling. And then we'd go into another one, and another one. And as we were doing this, we were very relaxed and very peaceful and driving along in this lovely buggy. We had two horses, one behind the other in front of us. And the horses were accustomed to going where they wanted to go. And so there was no need to hold the reins. We were just riding, and the horses were going where we wanted to. We were up on the side of the mountain. We were facing the south. And as we were driving along on this ridge road, we were thinking it'd be nice to have lunch somewhere. And so they asked me, would you like to have lunch in a castle or in a nice restaurant or what? Oh, a castle would be a lot of fun, I said. And I said, a castle would be a lot of fun. And they said, all right, a castle it is. We shall go to the name of the castle, and we shall have lunch there. And at that moment, it's as though the horse was told to turn directly to the castle, which was straight down the hill from where we were, which was quite steep. And the horses turned and started heading right straight down the hill, right through the trees, and we were riding rather perilously in that buggy. And so my host said, Herb, step out. And so I took my camera and I took my recorder, and I stepped out of the buggy. And as I stepped out of the buggy, it was as though the buggy were in slow motion, and I could just casually step out and step aside. And then he told his friend, his girlfriend, to step out, and she stepped out likewise. Then he stepped out. And all three of us were just as casual and just as relaxed as could be, but we stepped out. And the horses were racing down the hill. And they raced down the hill until they got to the bottom, and then they stopped. Meanwhile, they did damage to the buggy and to themselves, but the thing is, then they stopped. Now, why could we not have had that be a lovely trip to the castle, and a lovely lunch, and so forth, which I never did get to go to the castle, because we had to take the horse in to have surgery done on his leg. And it was a very fascinating experience. I could just, in slow motion, see the whole thing happening. I saw me stepping out in perfect confidence and perfect peace without any trepidation whatsoever. And then I saw my companions step out in perfect peace and perfect trepidation. No trepidation whatsoever, in peace and ease. And then we walked to the bottom of the hill, and we took care of our business. But the thing is, each one of these steps was like slow motion. And truly, that is what it is. Now, we could have been frightened and worried and anxious, and then have trouble getting out of the buggy and being knocked down and being injured and being hurt. But we weren't. We weren't. Because for ourselves, we thought, I am surrounded by the pure white light of love, and I got out and walked peacefully down the hill. And my companions did likewise. We are in charge of our life. How does a person learn how to play the piano? You say, well, he sits at the piano and he presses the different notes. Well, what is he doing? He's telling his mind where the notes are relative to the keys. He's telling his consciousness where he is finding the music that he wants to find in that piano. The music is in the piano, but is it really? We press the notes on the piano keyboard, and up comes all sorts of beautiful music. We press the notes on the keyboard, and up comes a very raucous type of sound, not at all desirable. An absolute philosopher likes to be alone, because when he's alone, then he feels harmonious, he feels in tune, he feels at one. Beautiful beings all do this. They find time to be alone. They don't make themselves obnoxious in being alone. I want to be alone. I've got to have time to myself. I got to. They make every moment of their life an alone time. They make every moment of their life a time where they are one with themselves, in peace with themselves, in harmony with themselves. And as they take this time to be themselves, alone with themselves, they find that they are the music of the universe. They are the wisdom of all time. They are the now. As they do this, they live in wonderful abundance of ideas, of thoughts, of money. They live with all of the greatness that could ever be theirs right now. I take time to be alone because alone is when I am doing the most work within myself. And the only place that I want to do work is within myself, is thinking my thoughts, living my world, and being that. The Absolute Philosopher takes time to be alone, not to find himself, but to reveal himself to himself. And as he does this, his life is exciting and filled with joy and filled with every good thing, just as is yours and mine. Take time to be alone, as I do, and watch how wonderful it is and how fulfilling it is and how rewarding it is, because that's what it's all about. Have a wonderful day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.